Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Bucks general manager Jason Light was on, I think it was Sirius NFL Radio, if I'm not mistaken. I got the link here. You guys can go find it yourselves. But not a ton of breaking news. He was asked, obviously, about Tom Brady coming back. Yes, they were going to leave the light on for him, and he did come back. And he said something that I think I just kind of went, what? Got some eyeballs, which was, yeah, we hope he's here for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. Now, is this as a quarterback or is this as an owner? I'm not sure which.
No. This is breaking news.
Oh.
I mean, he's saying we hope he's here for, why is it not 15 or 20 years?
Good point.
I mean, why are you only hoping for 3 or 4?
That's a great point.
I mean, come on. At 60, he's got to be better than half the quarterbacks in the league.
Well, based on what everybody's given up for him, he might be. But I just thought, I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but who knows, right? I mean, I'm sure that this wishful thinking. I've been, even since it's just been a little over a week since he came back, I've been thinking about, like, how does the end of the year play out, right? Whether he ends the Super Bowl and the confetti and all that or not. Can you imagine what, like, that last game is going to be? Okay, Tom, now you're really going to retire this time, right? You know, and who's going to believe him when he does? I mean, this is the thing about kind of coming out of retirement is the next time you really go into it, you could be Brett Favre where you come out of it twice, right? Maybe 3 times. So it's going to be hard to believe exactly what's going to happen. But maybe he's got some other connection that he's, you know, maybe be offered some ownership for the Bucks. Who knows? Maybe he'll stick around, do that, help out Jason Light or whatnot. So that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting, he was asked, and we mentioned this the other day, because who's the guy, guy on ESPN that used to quarterback for the Bucks?
Dan Orlovsky,
thanks. So Dan Orlovsky brought this up. Like, he thought it would be a great idea if the Bucks went all in on Baker Mayfield. And you said correctly that, well, problem is Baker Mayfield got his fifth-year option picked up for like $18 million. There's no contract beyond this year, and I don't know, since you would be transferring the fifth-year option essentially, if a team could then extend him. That I don't know the answer to that question, so don't put it in the mailbag because I can't be 100% correct on it just yet. But you know, Jason Light was asked about Baker Mayfield, and he fell back on the stock answer, which he frankly has to, look, I cannot comment on players on other teams. Baker Mayfield is very much a Cleveland Brown right now. Now, Deshaun Watson is too, so we know that that Mayfield's going to leave. By the way, I guess there is mutual disinterest between the Carolina Panthers and Baker Mayfield, as well as Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers. So he would like to go to a better team, please. And I had said when it was brought up the other day by Orlovsky was that, well, it's not the worst idea I've heard, except that I think – both the compensation that you would have to give up some sort of a pick, and I believe the Browns probably want a number one. They probably will have to settle for less than that. Between that and trying to lock him up, it would make sense. And then, you know, as Jason Light said, if you're expecting Tom Brady to play more than 1 year, it really doesn't make sense because, you know, you're essentially writing off Kyle Trask. If you bring in another backup quarterback that can play, that's young, you're essentially saying, you know, we're going to cut ties with Kyle at some point because he's never going to get on the field unless you think he's going to compete with Baker. So it's a long way of saying I don't believe this is going to happen. I think it is, you know, much more likely they re-sign Blaine Gabbert at some point and they all fall back into traditional roles. And Tom Brady will have something to say about that because, believe me, these great quarterbacks, they have a say over who's in the room. You know, I can remember years ago, and I don't know if Sean King's listened to this podcast or not. If he's not, why isn't he? But if you recall, after Sean left here, I believe he was in Arizona for a while, and then he went to Indianapolis. His last breath of football was with the Colts and Tony Dungy, who, of course, drafted him in the second round. And Peyton Manning was the quarterback, of course. in Indianapolis at the time. And Sean had a great preseason. Like, he outplayed the current backup was Jim Sorgi from the University of Wisconsin, I believe, and go Badgers. And so Sean went there with his former coach, played really, really well. You know, Peyton didn't play a lot in the preseason. Sean played outplayed Sorgi by a lot, and he still got cut. And the reason was, in essence, and Dungy, I think, would confirm this, it wasn't that Sean didn't earn the job, because he did. It was just that Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and he gets to kind of choose, in a sense, which quarterback he wants in that role. You know, it's a very important role. You're in the room, all that stuff, and he was used to working with Sorgi. So it didn't work out. I wonder if Tom Brady doesn't have sort of that same influence. In other words, you know, they can't just sign or bring in any quarterback that's going to sit in that room and, you know, sit behind Tom Brady. Not that Brady's going to, you know, actively groom any of these guys, but I would think, you know, that's that job of a backup quarterback is more than just what you do with reps in practice, et cetera. It's really about being an extra set of eyes, you know, for Brady. In the case of Gabbard, he helped teach him the offense, but beyond that, it's what you do during the week, film study, little things you're able to detect. You're given assignments, you know, to try to look at defenses and things. And so, you know, it's a very particular position that a guy like Brady would probably want to influence in some ways. And I don't see Baker Mayfield filling that role without Brady's blessing. And like I said, who knows how long Brady's going to be here. So they're not going to do it, in my opinion. And I don't know where Baker Mayfield ends up. Maybe Seattle. It's not going to be Carolina. We know that. You know where else it's not going to be? Miami. And they got two quarterbacks down there. And now, talk about your blockbuster trades. What an offseason this has been, right? We've talked about all the quarterback movement. Who had this on their bingo card? Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins for a ton of draft picks. And, oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill is guaranteed something like $72, $74 million.
That was shocking. And, I mean, I think back to the Chiefs game, not the Super Bowl, but the regular season game 2 years ago, when Tyreek Hill just scorched the Bucs defense.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely torched them. And you see how he can completely change a game from the receiver position,
mm-hmm,
because he is so fast,
mm-hmm,
and skilled as a receiver. I mean, we've seen fast guys in football, but they can't catch the ball or can't run routes well. I mean, he can do it all.
Yep.
And, you know, Mahomes to lose that weapon. And you and I were talking before the podcast. When your quarterback takes $40 to $50 million of cap space,
mm-hmm,
and receivers are now getting 20 plus million, you got it. You have to cut something. You're not cutting Mahomes, so your weapons have to go at that point. I mean, if there's one thing that Tom Brady, and we've talked about this before, I mean, and for whatever reason, because his wife makes a lot of money, or he's just content with 25 million and his other interests, he takes less than most of the top quarterbacks. And allows him to have more weapons around him, or a better defense, or a better special team, whatever it is, whatever's needed. You know, I mean, you know, let's restructure the contract so I can sign Antonio Brown or Leonard Fournette or Rob Gronkowski, or, you know, name your pick. And, you know, and I'm not faulting Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or name your quarterbacks. I got no problem with you getting as much money as you can get. I mean, your career is short. Unless you're Tom Brady. You know, so I got no problem with you getting as much money as you get, but there are consequences to it. When you have a salary cap, the more money you make when you're at the top end, the less you have to spend elsewhere.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have been up there for a while, so they've got a number of guys that they've been paying, you know. And so, you know, obviously they felt they couldn't afford. They also got a fair amount of compensation. I think it's a first-round pick, a second-round pick. Maybe a fourth round or something like that.
And they've signed Smith-Schuster, so it, you know, they have another good receiver.
Yes, Juju Smith-Schuster's there.
You know, it's not like all of a sudden now they don't have a receiver.
Right. Now, the question becomes, first of all, I mean, I think Tyreek Hill got what he wanted, which was paid. Mm-hmm. You know, look, in the NFL, if you make it to a second contract, much less a third, that's what it's all about. And the money is so big now, and we talked about this when Allie Marpet retired, that these guys are not going to play as long. They're mm-hmm. just not, mm-hmm. you know. And especially if you get to, a, you know, not just a second, but a third court contract or whatever. So Tyreek Hill, he's won a Super Bowl, all that. He's done everything he can do. He's been to six Pro Bowls already. Mm-hmm. Not a rookie by any means, but he went for the check. And I like what Miami's doing. Miami's added a ton of speed at the running back position with Mozart. Like, they've got a bunch of guys, but it's a new regime. It's a new program. Here's the thing. Who's going to miss who more, right? So Patrick Mahomes is still going to sling it. And I think I saw a stat the other day where, you know, games where Tyreek Hill didn't play, he was pretty damn good. He averaged like 350 yards a game, and, you know, his ratings were high and all of that. Having said that, what Tyreek Hill does is take the top off of defense. I mean, you literally, he will run by you, you know. And so you have to play too deep. You know, even then, the dude can just keep going. And the beauty of it was he has the most 20-yard-plus touchdowns in the NFL since he's been in the league. And a lot of times it's simply that, you know, Mahomes will drop back, extend the play. We saw this in the Super Bowl. He just drops straight mm-hmm. back, and it's, you know, 7 yards, 5 yards, 10 more yards, you know, all that. And then he just launches, and his arm is so strong that defensive backs, first of all, they can't plaster guys for 5 seconds. And secondly, they can't believe how far he can throw the ball. And Tyreek Hill, how fast he can get down that field, 50, 60 yards. You're not going to have that in Miami, I assure you. The thing I know about Tua Tagovailoa is does not have the strongest of arms, period. Is not going to be a deep ball thrower in his career, to be honest with you. And then they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, who no longer is really a great deep ball thrower. He has an adequate arm. Both those guys are okay. But when you go from Mahomes to Tua, that's a big change. And I think defenses are going to say, you want to throw it over our heads? We know that guy out there is fast. Go ahead. Let's see how far you can throw it. And, you know, it's going to be a process. Meanwhile, Kansas City, like I said, Mahomes can extend plays, create openings for his receivers. With these draft picks, they'll become a better football team. I don't know if it's right away because so much ran through, you know, Hill and Kelsey that you've lost now 50% of that. But I still would bet on Kansas City being very, very good. And I'll bet you they do a good job with these draft picks as well. Mm-hmm. And so if I had to pick a winner here, it's the draft picks and the loss of that salary off their salary cap. I mean, that's huge for them. You know?
Well, this is the cost of winning. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been to 4 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those players want to get paid when their contracts mm-hmm. are up, and they've won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
So, you know, you should stay at Kansas City with Mahomes and win a Super Bowl. I mean, he's got a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault a guy for wanting to get paid.
No.
And you know, as an organization, you know, at some point you can't pay everyone. I mean, the Lightning have gone through that recently. We've talked about that a lot. That's why Gord and Goodrow and Coleman aren't here, and Tyler Johnson aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
And Andre Palat probably won't be next year. And maybe even another big name won't be here next year. Maybe an Alex Killorn or something. You know, I mean, because guys want to get paid, and then you got to pay others, that the young guys that have gotten good. And this is what happens in a salary cap league. And so, you know, the move shocked me for the Chiefs. Shocked's not the right word.
Surprised
me. But when you see the Hall coming back,
mm-hmm.
and knowing they've signed Juju Smith-Schuster,
mm-hmm.
you're going, okay, I get it. In the salary cap world, you know, if Mahomes is going to take $50 million or 40, whatever his contract is, I forget what his number is. It's over 40.
45, yeah.
Kelsey's getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you paid Smith-Schuster, not nearly that much, but, you know, at some point you got to go, well, we still need to fix this position and this position and this position. And I mean, that's what happens in a salary cap world. So when you saw the Hall that came back to Kansas City, I get it.
Absolutely. And Andy Reid would be remiss if somebody made him that offer and he didn't accept it in some ways, because they're at that Not that they have to rebuild, because they don't. I mean, we have that quarterback, but you are going to have to restock a little bit. And, you know, he gives him that, you know, the ability to do that. Look, I like what Miami's doing. I mean, we're going to find out if Tua is the answer there. I mean, that's the one thing I can assure you, because, you know, new head coach, seems to be fired up about him. I mean, he's going to get competition in Teddy, but I don't think there's any question that they're, you know, trying to salvage this guy's career. And it doesn't help when you change head coaches all the time, and that sort of thing. But I think he's going to get a chance, because you're putting really great players around him, and that's the secret, you know, to giving a quarterback a chance to develop, and you have a young one like that. And, you know, the other thing they did in this weekend, the New Orleans Saints, is they also signed Teron Armstead from the New Orleans Saints, a left tackle that, you know, got a $75 million deal from the Dolphins. So the Saints have been hit by some of their decisions through, you know, over the years, and the salary mm-hmm. cap era as well. So it was a bad year for, I mean, I'm telling you, between Carolina not having a quarterback, we'll see what they do. They have Sam Darnold right now. When you look at Atlanta, and they're going to go with Marcus Mariota and, you know, cut Matt Ryan loose. The Saints re-signed Jameis Winston, who, you know, beat these guys a year ago when he got hurt, though, and tore his ACL, and he was 5-2 with them. But their offensive line now has been weakened. They're going to lose some players. New head coach without Sean Payton. This is a great opportunity. And what's funny is, while all these other free agents are going and getting paid, look how many of them have stayed right here in Tampa Bay. You know, I it was amazing that they reloaded and did all that after they won the Super Bowl, you know, run it back and all that stuff. And they, you know, they got all 22 starters, and that was the narrative going into last season. Of course, a ton of injuries changed some of that, but they still made it really within one bad play of maybe playing the NFC Championship game here at home against San Francisco. But to do it 2 years, and I mean, in essence, maybe not everybody comes back, but the people that have really mattered are back. And all of them, almost to a man, have said, well, you know, Tom Brady's back. And yet their contracts, like Leonard Fournette's, which is 3 years, mostly all of them will most likely, you know, outlast however long Brady is here this time. So not only did you get him back because Brady's here, but in case of Chris Godwin and some others, you've got him for 3 years. I don't know if Light's right that Brady's going to play 3 to 5 years, but that's how long you're locking up the core of this team. And then you're adding on top of that guys like Russell Gage. And, you know, so you've gotten better in areas in addition to getting your own players back. And they still got more work to do. I think they'll do it. I think the focus is on their own guys. Gronk, of course, is still out there. I think if he's going to play, it's inevitable he'd be here. They re-signed Will Golston. We'll see if Sue's even in the conversation. I don't know that he is. JPP is probably not. But there are still some guys that they would like to have back. But, you know, everybody's coming back. They're not playing for free, but they're coming back. And so this team is going to stay together with Brady because, like you mentioned, he's taken $25 million, $27 million, and not $45 or $50 million the way Aaron Rodgers is. And, you know, Rodgers loses Devontae Adams, not so much for the money, but maybe for the money. And that's how teams are unable to stay on the top. I mean, it's a, you know, competitive, balanced league, and that's what the salary cap is about. But, you know, it's allocation. You have to choose where to spend the money. I tend to think this is, you know, if you're, let's put it this way. The Bucs had a very good day. They're not going to have to cover Tyreek Hill, and they're not going to have to cover Devontae Adams this year. That's a pretty good start, you know, because both those guys are on the schedule, Green Bay and Kansas City, and neither one of those players who have destroyed the Bucs in the past, especially Hill, as you mentioned, neither one of those guys, unless they find them in the Super Bowl, are going to wind up playing against the Bucs this year. So
now, Rick, you're probably going to face the Dolphins in preseason, so, you know.
That's true, but we don't care. I mean,
maybe a joint practice with them, too. You never know.
Well, that'd be fine. I'd be cool with that. Sell their players. I mean, they got good players. I mean, if you're a Dolphins fan, you should be excited. Florida football looking up, at least in the NFL version. Trevor Lawrence has some new targets as well. New coach, thank God. So all that's promising, right? Let's get into we've kept this conversation. We kind of pushed it, kicked the can down the road a little bit because we had other things going on that were sort of more pressing in free agency and whatnot. Let's do this. I think there was a mailbag question. We're going to have mailbag tomorrow, but there was one about Baker Mayfield, if I seem to recall.
Yeah, Rob had emailed. He said, hey, what is the knock on Baker Mayfield exactly?
You know what's funny? I've heard the knocks, but I'm not sure I agree with them. I think a lot of times, you know, people speak things into existence, write things into existence. And I tend to rely on coaches and sort of what my own eyes show me, okay? And, you know, a couple of years ago, Baker had a pretty decent year. I think they made the postseason and all of that. I remember this, that after Dirk Koetter was fired, Todd Monken, who is now the offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia and just won a national championship, thank you, he went to Cleveland for 1 year. They fired a coach, and then they hired Stefanski. But he was their offensive coordinator, and the Bucs played the Browns in the preseason in Tampa. And I went over to, I think it was the Marriott there on Waterside, and sat with Coach Monk, who I had gotten to know and respect, and, you know, one of the better guys that I've covered throughout my career, very helpful in a lot of ways. And so I trusted him, and I trusted, you know, he was the offensive coordinator here the last year under Dirk, and I trusted sort of his expertise because he had coached college football at Southern Miss. He has a pretty good resume. He understands players. He understands quarterbacks. And so Baker actually walked by when we were talking at the Waterside, and I said, what about that guy? And he goes, you know what? I love him. And that's not a word that Monk would use very often. He wasn't really prone to hyperbole. And I go, what do you like about him? And he said, because guys will follow him. He goes, you know, he told me, at least, he's not an excuse maker. He wants to be great. And he will pour his guts out to try to win. He will fight you. And guys like that. He goes, now he's cocky. He says he's very confident. He's very, you know, almost to the point of arrogance at times. And sometimes he says that can get him in trouble because he thinks he can make every play. Who's that sound like? He said, but I really like the guy. And he goes, I think he's going to be successful if, and he, you know, sort of like we don't screw him up or the Browns don't screw him up. And, of course, they fired the coach, you know, got a new coach. So every time you do that with a quarterback, you know, they're kind of starting over with the offense language. Look, they brought in players. All I know, and I'm not close to the situation there in Cleveland, but Baker Mayfield played hurt, and he had a lot of things hurt, right? We knew about the left shoulder injury. There were other things on him as well, and he did not back out of there. You know, he fought and fought and fought, and, you know, a lot of that stuff didn't go well, obviously, with Odell Beckham Jr., who now suddenly wants to play there in Cleveland again with Deshaun Watson. But from what I know that I've been told about Baker, I think he's going to, if he got with the right team, and there's a lot of talent on that Cleveland team, so he should have won more games. And that's ultimately the blame always ends up on the quarterback or the coach or both. But I still think his best football is ahead of him. And if he gets healthy, he wouldn't be a bad guy to take a shot at, man. I mean, I still think you can build around him. You know, again, number one pick, went to one of the worst teams in football. That's how that works. And now the Browns have, you know, pretty good personnel, and they should be winning more consistently. People say, well, you know, he's an excuse maker. He, you know, can't win the big game. I mean, yeah, all that. I mean, there's evidence of some of that. But I don't know that we really know Baker the way his teammates know him, the way his coaches know him. Obviously, the organization was ready to move on from him, but not for anybody. I mean, how many teams did we see? Like, even the Atlanta Falcons, they were so all in on Matt Ryan that they had to trade the guy. You know? He wasn't coming back there. And that of course, was the case with the Cleveland Browns. And it would have been the case with, you know, any team that was going to go all in for Baker, for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, and then you have the ripple effect, and that's what we're seeing now. That's why Baker has to go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, about Deshaun Watson. Look, I think there's times when you got to speak up about what you see in the NFL, and it's not been a great week for the NFL in a lot of ways, or a great 2 weeks, I guess. And that is, and I know the Bucs were involved in sort of vetting him, and you know, I'd heard from Bruce and other people that they never really thought that would happen here, you know, and for a multitude of reasons. One, the owners have to sign off on it, and two, you know, look what he ended up going for. I mean, Cleveland was ruled out at one point until they literally said, what will it take, and we'll pay it, you know, both in terms of compensation and then guaranteeing Deshaun Watson more money than any player in the history of football, and then lowering his salary, you know, to $1 million so that if he is suspended, it's a very minimal hit. I mean, basically, and you could look at it this way, they paid him enough money so that he can pay 22 accusers if he wants to. And I know about the indictments not being returned. I think that gave comfort to a lot of teams that he wasn't being criminally charged. That was huge for Deshaun, and he made his statement and all that. But I'm just here to tell you, 22 women are not going to conspire, some of them independent of each other, you know, and something went there that doesn't make sense. First of all, if you talk to almost any player, if they're lucky enough to find somebody who is a massage therapist that can help them the way Alex Guerrero helps Tom Brady, right? They're not going to have multiple people working on them. They're just not, it's not going to happen. You're going to find one person that you trust, and that's who you're going to go to, because you know that essentially is how you earn your living, right? Taking care of your body. Massage is always a big part of that in many instances. And if you find somebody during your professional career that gets you feeling better, that works stuff out for you, I don't care who you ask, they're going to go, how many did you have? One, you know, on the outside. If somebody quit, two. But you're not going to social media and Instagram and picking out who's working on your body the way Deshaun Watson did. There's a problem there. And I just think that, you know, not that there was any illusions that this league is about winning, but this league is about winning. And it's really glaring, and you brought this up, Steve, like we just got done talking about Tyreek Hill. I had forgotten what he had been accused of. And the fact that Deshaun Watson's the face of a franchise and a quarterback, a lot more, you know, hot lights are pointed in his direction. But this the league has taken some lumps, and they deserve them, in my opinion. And I don't know what all the Cleveland fans will feel. I suppose when he starts winning, there'll be a bunch of them go, eh, you know. We'll see if he reaches settlements with those women. It was a little different. Like, you know, remember when Michael Vick got in trouble? He went to jail, you know, for abusing dogs and the dog fighting and stuff. That guy came out and started doing PSAs for PETA and meant it, you know. And there was a way of showing contrition. Deshaun Watson has done nothing but say that these people are lying at this point. And I think he's going to get suspended regardless of the outcome of these civil cases. I think he's going to get a minimum of 6 games, which might be negotiated down to 3 or 4 the way Jameis Winston's incident was. And, you know, there's been a lot of passionate people, you know, go on podcasts and talk about this and that. And then there's others that say, well, I don't really care because I cover football and so on and so forth. But something went down. And what is amazing to me is that since I've been covering the NFL, I've said this several times, I've never seen a player have more leverage on that many teams before, to the point where those teams went so far that when they didn't get him, they had to trade their quarterbacks, right? And yet this was a guy who is facing suspension and has 22 civil complaints against him. So it's just astounding to me just how that all kind of came about.
Well, and it's this is the hard part for I don't want to say hard part for organizations, but you could think of it even as businesses for, you know, employees of whatever the job is too. I mean, you know, the difference between criminal and civil, and is it an employer's job to decide that stuff? And I think the NFL is in a different position than a lot of jobs because of how high public it is and how well known everyone is, the, you know, celebrity status, whatever you want to say.
And it's a bit of a public trust too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even though there are businesses, make no mistake, but in many instances, that community has paid for the stadium. The mm-hmm. fans feel an attachment to the team mm-hmm. from, you know, it's a civic pride, right? So it is a little different than, say, IBM.
I mean, you know, you mentioned that Bruce and others around the team kind of never thought that Deshaun Watson could end up here.
Didn't feel that way.
Well, and this team went through it with the quarterback already.
They did.
Yep. You know, and they chose to, you know, Jameis had the incident at Florida State, and they chose
mm-hmm.
to draft him. And then he had another incident with an Uber driver later.
Right, and he got suspended.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so this team's been through that again. Yeah, with the face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And make no mistake, the quarterback position is different than any other position on the field.
Yes.
You know, right or wrong, that's, you know, it's, you know, you don't hear as much about Tyreek Hill's problems, and it's not just one in his past.
Mm-hmm. And yet I know coaches on this staff that will tell you that they don't, you know, you get this default sort of answer like, well, I don't know what happened, but, you know, this guy's not Antonio Brown, or he's never been a bad guy before. And he hasn't until this very creepy thing happened in Texas. But it is true. Like, you can go back to Clemson, you can go as far back as you want to go. You won't find Deshaun Watson, you know, anything but exemplary comments about him. And there's still coaches on everybody's staff that this wants to believe so badly that, and is there a chance that he did none of this? There is. I don't think it's a great chance. I don't think any of this was a giant conspiracy among people that didn't know each other in some instances and described the same behavior. They are willing to, you know, and people supposedly did their vetting, although I think I saw where the attorney for all those plaintiffs said that no one actually attempted to interview any of his accusers from any team, any NFL team.
Well, but
interesting.
I heard that too. And what do you get from interview? I mean, first of all, you know what they're going to say.
You've read their accusations, yeah.
Secondly, the attorney is a media hog. If you interview one, you know it's coming out.
Right.
You know, so now, before you're even considering, you know, are you going to trade for, if you're just trying to do due diligence, and all of a sudden now it's leaking that you're talking to the accusers.
Right.
I know the attorneys come out and said that and like appalled by it, but I'm like, if I was a team considering it, I wouldn't talk to them either. I mean, I don't know what you think you're going to get out of that.
Well, I think what you would get is you can judge, you know what their statements are, but you can sort of sit across from them and judge their sincerity. You know, if you have any sort of like face-to-face connection with them. And I don't know if one or any of them would have actually wanted to do mm-hmm. that. Maybe they would. But it's not, believe it or not, I mean, they didn't, you know, look, the Bucs didn't interview the Uber driver, the NFL did. Right. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of this is handled at the league level. If there's going to be punishment, it's not going to be the team. It's going to be the league.
Correct.
And the league has an investigation that's open, and they have supposedly talked to some of his accusers. So it could mm-hmm. be that, you know, a lot of them felt, well, whatever's coming down on Deshaun Watson, that investigation is active and it's the league's purview. You know what I mean? Now, they did ask Deshaun. I think I saw where one team spent 20-25 minutes asking him about these charges, you mm-hmm. know, so it wasn't as if they just went in there and wanted him to know what number he wanted to wear when he got to Cleveland. They did some due diligence, but still interesting nonetheless. But listen, Deshaun Watson, what's going to happen here is he's going to have an opportunity to play. I think he's going to get suspended for some time. I don't know how much. Some of the people that were around Winston in his case, they tell me 6 games. And then you try to bargain from there. But he's going to get suspended, in my opinion. And then he has a chance at 26 years old to outplay all of this. You know, look, Ben Roethlisberger mm-hmm. had three of these and was suspended and had three of these incidents that were not similar in nature, but just as potentially dangerous and criminal. He wasn't charged criminally, but they suspended him. And Ben Roethlisberger just played his last game and was, you know, by all accounts, beloved, you know, and no one spoke about it. And it happened back in 2010. So you can outplay it, especially at the quarterback
position.
You
can, but then like Ray Rice never got a chance to, really.
Ray Rice never got it because there was video. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. And you know who had, perhaps something almost as reprehensible, but in a weird way also related to massage, was Bob Kraft. And there was video, and he got it thrown out of court. Nothing happened to Bob Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not trying to conflate, you know, these two cases, but, I think Deshaun Watson, and I don't know how he will do it. It's obviously he's got a PR problem, as do the Browns and whatever team was going to end up with him, you know, to boot, no doubt about it. But at 26 years old, with the talent he has, however long he spends there or in the NFL, he has a chance to do the right things. And he might be able to outplay it in the eyes of some people. You know, I don't know. But I know there's a lot of people disappointed with the NFL. And if you believe anything, you have to understand it's a business. And the business is winning, right? And it's also about the quarterback. And so, you know, they can tell you anything. You can hear all the sound bites and anything they say. But I always say this, you know, when given a choice between the audio and the video, believe the video. Because what people say and what they do are often two entirely different things. And you know what? Whether these guys would have pulled the trigger on Deshaun Watson or not, Tom Brady came back and made that moot anyway. But you know what? I'd like to think that maybe they wouldn't have, you know, for a lot of reasons, but I don't know. That's just me. I know they were interested, and I know they were in the market for a quarterback. And they may be again next year, but it won't be with Deshaun. And I don't think it's going to be with Baker Mayfield. So, all right, well, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in Boston trying to avoid another 3-game losing streak. Of course, the Bruins playing very well as this tough road trip or road odyssey continues. We'll see if they can turn that around up there. We got the Rays continue their spring training, of course. The Bucks will have some news conferences later today. We'll have a chance to be introduced to some of their newer players, and so we can talk about that. But mostly your mailbag questions coming up in tomorrow's podcast. You can always send those to us. You don't have to wait for a mailbag, but do that by sending them to us on Twitter at NFL Stroud. You can reach our podcast at Sports Day TB, or you can reach me with my email address, rstroud@tampabay.com.
Don't forget the Sweet 16 starts tonight. So,
yeah. Your Michigan Wolverines, who they got?
Villanova.
Mm. Jay Wright, tough team.
Yes.
Second seed.
That's a rematch of the national championship game a few years ago, which Villanova beat Michigan.
Exactly right. I've already got the winner. I'll declare it now if you want to hear who it is, because I'm convinced that this will be the case.
Well, it's got to be St. Peter's, right?
Nope. Oh, there's Cinderella. Cinderella makes it to the Sweet 16, sometimes the Elite Eight, rarely to the Final Four, and they don't win the national championship. That never happens, so it's not them. It's going to be your Duke Blue Devils. I mean, it's Coach K's last hurrah, and I'm telling you, whatever it takes, whatever whistles you need or don't need, it's rigged, baby. You just wait. And I know North Carolina tuned them in Coach K's final game at Cameron Indoor, you know, stadium or whatever, and that was kind of a bummer for him. And they didn't win the ACC tournament, by the way. So they've had a couple of failures there down the stretch. I'm just telling you, man. Unless I guess it's possible anyody can take him out, but it just feels like to me like he's going to walk off with another national title, and it ain't going to be – no one's going to stop it. It just – and I was on Tennessee. I like Tennessee, and then you reminded me that Rick Barnes doesn't win very many postseason games. So
yep.
maybe that's why.
By the way, Michigan was really good. The tournament ratings are up double-digit percentages.
Are they?
For both men and women's this year.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I think, what, 12 up 12% for the men? Year over year, and I think the women's up 15% year over year.
That's fantastic. And it matters, too, because you got all the fans back and the pageantry, and it feels normal, right? Spring training's continuing. We're going to have opening day coming up before long. So, hopefully next week sometime we'll have a chance to talk to Neil Solons, somebody from the Rays.
We're going to have Neil next week on the show. So
Perfect. That'll be great. Talk a little Rays baseball. I saw where they've got most of their arbitration eligible guys locked up.
Yep. Oh, by the way, Tommy Pham signed with the Reds as we're taping this tonight.
He did?
Yes.
That's a
1-year
good
deal, I think, with a mutual option for a second year.
Yeah. That's a good signing for them, for sure.
I know there have been some rumblings of could he come back to the Rays, although they got enough outfielders right now. But
yeah, they do. And for the moment, KK is still with them. We'll see. I still think there's some moves to be made before we get to opening day. Anyway, thanks for listening. Mailbag tomorrow for Steve Burstick. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a good day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.